From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
See, sometimes we get so caught up with the second coming of Christ, we miss the comings and goings of Christ today. Do you know how many times He wants to come into your life? Maybe into your conversation, maybe into a relationship, maybe a problem you're trying to solve, and He's trying to speak into it. Listen carefully. If you don't know what the Word is saying, if you don't know and you cannot see Jesus, if you're not spending time in the Bible, you won't see Him today, even though He's there right in front of your face.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, One Thing, where we learned the importance of getting the Bible off the coffee table and into our hearts. As we do, we'll find that it is filled with promises that will get us through some very tough situations. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, One Thing.
At the top of your notes, we find a scripture. Jesus was in the house of Martha and Mary. Now, Martha was in the kitchen, scurrying around, preparing the turkey for dinner. Mary, moreover, was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. Martha came out of the kitchen and said, Lord, Lord, you tell that lazy bum of a sister of mine to help me in the kitchen. At least she can make the stuffing or the gravy. And Jesus answers and says, let's read what it says in your notes. Go. But the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha Stewart, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. But really only what? One thing. Really only what? One thing is necessary. Now listen to this. And Mary has chosen that one thing, which will never be taken away. Listen carefully. Here's the one thing. Here's the one thing. Your Bible can be taken away from you, but what from the Bible you have hidden in your heart can never be taken away from you. The one thing isn't the billion Bibles. It's the one thing that you must choose is in the midst of the tasks when everything is yelling at you, all the Marthas of life are scurrying around. The one thing that is necessary, she opened the Word and she hid things in her heart. God says, that won't be taken away. You can take this away, but what I've hidden in my heart, you cannot take away. I choose that. Instead of getting caught up in the rat race, I choose to open and look in here for lessons to be learned. I look for examples. I look for Jesus. I look for His Word. I want to hear what He's saying. And what I hide in my heart, the Lord says, now you have chosen the right thing. That's the one thing you must choose, and that'll never be taken away from you. This can and may be one day, but what I hide in my heart can never be taken away. So if I don't hide anything in my heart, what are we going to do in the end days? Because you're going to be the only Bible that most people will ever read. Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen that one part. It will never be taken away. What? The Bible? No. What she's hiding in her heart. I want to encourage you to be a people of the Word. Now, when you start reading it, I want you to pray this prayer. The psalmist prays it in Psalm 19. Read it. Go. Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from thy law. When you open God's Word, this is a training program, so that your eyes will be opened. There's a reason for it. Remember, I was talking about the Bible and its importance to our nation and its future, and the Bible and its importance to the saints or the church and our assignment. How are you going to be prepared for this assignment? I'm about to tell you. All right, here it is. When you open the Bible, here's four quick tips to look for. Would you write it down in your notes? Number one, look for lessons to be learned. Lessons to be learned. When there's a lesson to be learned, it's from someone who failed. You see, not everybody in the Bible was successful. You have Samson, who had trouble with the ladies. You had Absalom, who had trouble with authority and power. It destroyed him. You have people there that did not fare well. So when you see lives that have crumbled, God's going to say, there's lessons to be learned. Listen, every problem that you will go through, somebody here has gone through it already. And they leave you clues as to how to circumnavigate that. You will either be ruled by the rudder or you'll be ruled by the rocks. It's up to you. So God gives us lessons to be learned. In fact, he says it this way. It's in the book of Corinthians. He talks about when the people of the Old Testament messed up. And let's read what it says. Go. Let us not act immorally as some did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some did and were destroyed by serpents. And don't grumble as some did and were destroyed by the... Yeah, we make all kinds of mistakes. Why? He said it to the Pharisees. You err because you know not the scriptures or the power of God. Look for lessons to be learned. And your eyes will start to get trained, and your ears will start to hear afresh. The second is, would you look for examples to be followed? Examples to be followed. Now, lessons come from those who failed. Examples come from those who've succeeded. They leave you an example to follow in their steps. Lessons from failures, examples from successes. And did you know that God has written all of this here, not as an art lesson or a history lesson, but as a current events lesson for you and me. I mean, read it with me. Go. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We are last days people. Christ could come tomorrow. But listen, he's saying everything that was written in the Bible were written for whose instruction? Ours. Do you know that? God loves us that much. He says, I'm going to record all the successes and failures. And I'm going to put them in the Bible in one place because it's for my people in the last days, especially for them. In fact, let's read the next one in Romans 15. Go. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Look for examples to be followed. And your eyes will start to see. Because when you come to Christ, our eyes are not transformed eyes. But as we get into the Bible, our eyes begin to change. We start to see things we've never seen before, hear things we've never heard before. But what is the tool in order to do that? It's the Word. But if I don't open it, and I keep a billion stacked up, we still go into exile, because it's not for the printing of Bibles that we go into exile, it's for the lack of knowledge. Each time you open it, your eyes start to change, your ears start to change. Look for lessons to be learned and examples to be followed. And then third, would you write down, look for promises to be enjoyed. Oh, this is so important. There are 7,000 plus promises, and they're there for you. No matter how many promises God has made, we find in 2 Corinthians, they are yes in Christ. And each of us will be going through a struggle. And at that time, you can take a hold of a promise, and you will be changed, not into the despair of the world, but you'll be transformed into the likeness of Christ if you'll hang on to his promises. Because let's read together in the book here of 2 Peter. Would you read this with me? Go. He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the by. Yeah, you see, when you hang on to a promise, it'll give you strength to become more like Christ in the midst of a crisis and not succumb to the watery grave of despair. But you've got to hang on to a promise. I'll tell you when I did that. Some years ago when I was having heart trouble, I was paddling out in the ocean when I first found out. It was 2 miles or so out in the ocean riding wakes, and all of a sudden I couldn't paddle. My heart hurt so bad, my chest, I couldn't breathe. I thought, how am I going to get in? Do I call the Coast Guard? What do I do? It took me nearly 3 hours to finally paddle in. I went to the doctor and they did a battery of tests only to find out that I had 5 blockages, 3 of which were 97% and above. The doctor said, we've got to get you in. You might have to have a bypass. The only one that could do a stent is Stanford Medical Center, the top cardiologist there. I said, well, let me just kind of see. Well, that next Sunday, we had water baptism like we are today, and I couldn't walk across Ala Moana Park. I stopped in the middle. I had to sit down. I couldn't breathe. I went to the doctor, and I said, something's really wrong. He says, yeah, you're about to have a heart attack. What's going on? And he says, you're going to go right now. I said, I can't. I got to preach next Sunday. He said, no, preach, meech, no. You're not going to do that. Sure enough, Wednesday, I was on an airplane to Stanford Medical Center. Thursday, it was in consultation. Friday, went under the knife. It took him 4 hours plus to put 3 stents through those blockages. And then 2, they're watching. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, when I was going through that, I thought I might die right now. But I got a hold of a promise, and here's the promise. I memorized and quoted again and again from Psalm 73. Here it is. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing but you. My heart and my strength may fail, but thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth I desire nothing. My heart and my flesh may fail, but thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I held on to that all the way through the surgery and back out. And that's what kept me from sinking into the watery pit of despair. You're going to go through stuff in your life, financial setbacks, fears in your family, your marriage may be going through a struggle. You need to be able to hang on to a promise of God from the Word. Find them. Know the Word. And here's something very important as well. And then look not only for lessons to be learned, examples to be followed, promises to be enjoyed, but look for Jesus to be revealed. Everything in the Bible speaks of Christ. From the Old Testament, it looks up to the cross. New Testament looks back to the cross. It apexes in Christ. You've got to find him. Now, here it is. Here's this one thing. Now, the whole message is going to come to this. Would you write in your notes, when you begin to see Jesus in the Bible, you will begin to recognize him in everyday life. You got to catch this. Now, you need to stay with me for the next 5 minutes, and then I'll let you go. But this is the most important part of the message. So I need you to really zero in. Watch this. When you begin to open the Bible, not buy another one, that's good, but when you start to open it, and you start paging through, your eyes begin to become accustomed to seeing Jesus. And when you start recognizing, oh, there he is. Oh, that's how he looks. Oh, that's how he sounds. Your ear starts to be attuned to how Jesus sounds. And pretty soon your eyes change. And when you look up, you start to see him everywhere. How do your eyes change? Right here. You've got to be in the Bible. You see, Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't ever be taken away from her. This might be taken away, but what I hide in my heart transforms me. That can never be taken away. I'm changed. I'm a changed person. And then you're the only Bible somebody's going to read. You understand how important that transformation, that transfer is? Many of us own this, but the transfer has not been made. And the devil wants to lie to you and say, just buy a few more. You'll be holier. The transfer hasn't been made. It's not the billion Bibles that transforms our country. It's we go into exile for lack of knowledge of the Bible. And you'll see a huge, huge war trying to extract the Bible out of everything and the acknowledgement of God out of everything, even though that's the context of our whole nation. We're so ignorant of that. And when people say, well, this isn't a Christian country, it may not be now, but it was birthed in Christian principles. Just walk across the Washington Mall and you'll see. But when that push comes, we, because of ignorance, ignorance births fear, fear births retreat, and all the devil needs to advance is for Christians to retreat. That's why Hosea and Isaiah said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So the transfer takes place when I start to, see Jesus in the Bible, and then, there he is. Oh, now I recognize him. I went from Hawaii to Oregon to go to school and college, and when I did, a friend of mine, Mike McGonigal, took me hunting for deer. Now, there's deer in Lanai, and there's deer in Molokai, but I never went hunting for deer up on the mainland. So he put this big old rifle in my hands, and he says, now, come on, we're going to look for a buck. Now, a buck is a male deer, and you start off with, you know, like fork and horn. That's legal. It's one spike and then a fork. Or you have a two-point, or you have, which is a horn, fork, but a three-point. And a four-point, maybe a five-point. It kind of depends on how big the deer is, right? And so he said, we're going to look for a three-point. And so we're going through the forest, and he just stops me. He says, right there, shoot it. I said, a tree? Shoot a tree? What do I shoot? Right there. I said, right where? Right there. It's a three-point, the big one. I said, I don't see anything. He says, right in front of your eyes. I said, I can't see anything. He said, you're blind. I said, you're crazy. He said, oh, I can't believe this. He picks up a rock and he throws it and boom, exploding out of the forest is the biggest three-point buck you've ever seen. Wow, point. I said, there's a deer, there's a deer. He looked like this. I told you. And I later said to him, how come you saw it and I couldn't? He said something interesting. He said, because I've learned to train my eyes to see them in the forest and to hear the sounds that they make, and I discern them. You haven't learned that yet. So it could be right in front of you and you never see it. You see, this is to train our eyes to see Jesus. I'm coming to the big part, so get ready. So he said, oh, so I'm starting to see. Now, why, Wayne, did you say this is Bible, the importance of it for our nation and its future? I understand that, because you can pull the nation out of context and make weird laws. I understand what's going on. It's the end times. Mm-hmm. And you can see what's happening. We're forgetting God and the justice and judgment of God's coming. Okay. Now, but what is that for us? Well, we have a choice we can make to stem that. How? By being a people of the Word. They can take the Bible, but not what you hide in your heart. That one thing, that's a choice you must make. Now, why is it so important? Because I know it makes my eyes accustomed to seeing Jesus. Yep. Why is that so important? Here it is. The assignment of the church. A lady came to me some time ago and she says, how come you don't teach us more about the coming of the Lord? About Christ coming? I said, what do you mean? Yeah, you know, he's going to come again. Well, why don't you teach us about that? I said, I teach about that all the time, about how to prepare your heart for the coming of God. He can come tonight. Yeah, but you got to tell us about like pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. I said, really? Yeah. So I thought, oh, I better study up on this. So I started studying up on taking classes, went back to seminary, and boy, they taught me about preterism and about dispensationalism, and we began to argue about whether I'm a pre-trib or a mid-trib or a post-trib or no trib. And then are you premillennial or post-millennial? Did you know that huge denominations broke away because one was pre and one was post? I didn't know that. Yeah, and Calvinism, are you hyper-Calvin or mid-Calvin? Are you moderate or are you an Armenian? I'm a Christian. You need to know about the coming of Christ. And we would argue for a whole semester on whether we're a preterist or a futurist. And I thought, wow, this girl, while people are outside saying, could I get saved? Anybody care? And we get caught up in this. Now you need to hear me. I came back to that lady and she said, well, are you going to teach us about the coming of Christ? I said, you know, he could come tonight. Yes, I know, you got to tell us about it. Aren't you nervous about the coming? I said, no, you know what? If you're prepared and you're ready to have him come, he can come anytime, like no big deal. No. Wait, hold on. I said to her, you know, the Bible says not even the angels know when he's going to come. So you think I'm going to know? That's kind of arrogant, don't you think? It says even the Son of Man doesn't know. Only the Father knows. And now you want me to tell you it's going to be like September 23rd or something? So get ready. Stockpile food and guns. Who are you going to shoot? When people come for your food, you, as a Christian, you're supposed to give it to them. What are you going to do, shoot them? When you shoot them, what are they going to do to you? Then you're dead and everybody else gets your food anyway and you're going to die. So, well, you got to teach us about the coming of Christ. You know, I tell you what, I'm teaching that all the time. She couldn't understand. So finally I said, you know, my wife and I, it's like me and Jesus. I spend a lot of time with my wife. We have breakfast in the morning together. We talk together. We have devotions together. Sometimes we travel together. We go shopping together. Lord have mercy. And we go do all kinds of things together. We talk. We golf together. We might go to a movie together. We're with each other all the time. And if someone says, Wayne, did you know that Anna's coming home? So? She's coming. Aren't you nervous? Oh, I spend all the time with her. I just talk with her. But she's coming. Aren't you nervous? No, she's coming. Who cares? I will embrace her and love her when she comes, but like, who cares? Aren't you nervous? I said, you'd be nervous if you never spent time with your wife and you're apart for 3 years. And then my wife is coming. Oh, I'd be nervous, but I spend all day with her. I just talked with her. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand that Jesus is coming all the time, when someone says, aren't you nervous about the coming of Christ? I just talked with him. He's around all the time. Yeah, but he's coming. So? He's here now. Amen. What are you talking about? See, sometimes we can get so caught up with the second coming of Christ, we miss the comings and goings of Christ today. Do you know how many times he wants to come into your life? Maybe into your conversation, maybe into a relationship, maybe a problem you're trying to solve, and he's trying to speak into it. Listen carefully. If you don't know what the Word is saying, if you don't know and you cannot see Jesus, if you're not spending time in the Bible, you won't see him today, even though he's there right in front of your face. The transfer hasn't been made. Your eyes haven't been changed. Well, we need to wait for the coming of Christ one day. Maybe, but I tell you, he's coming every day. He's always speaking. And the more I'm into the Word of God, the more I can discern his voice, the more I see him coming. But if we will be a people with eyes that can see and ears that can hear, the Lord says, you will have chosen life.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled One Thing by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.